Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Your Q, sponsored by Premier Insurance. And hopefully everybody's inside and staying cool today, because I actually thought it was going to be a little hotter than it was, but it's still pretty darn hot out there if you're out there for any amount of time or doing any physical exertion. So definitely try to stay cool, stay indoors, listen to the show for an hour while you cool off. So today we wanted to have on Kyle Reed from the Douglas County Forest Protection Agency. And Kyle, you are the fire prevention and public information specialist.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
It is.
So we're hoping you have all the knowledge here that we're going to ask, and you'll impart some wisdom on us today. And also in studio, we have Alan Painter, owner of Premier Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure, Shannon. It's always good to be here, and I learned as much as everybody else, so I'm happy to be here today.
I was just telling somebody yesterday that it's like the cool thing about doing the show is you just can't be afraid to ask any questions, because it might be the question that somebody else is asking or, you know, wanting to know out there. And so it's like, I just ask random questions. So Kyle, let's start off with one of the things that I actually saw today this morning is that there is a thunderstorm warning going on, and I think it was for today and tomorrow. So is that does include Douglas County, correct?
Yeah, so the National Weather Service has issued fire weather information for the different districts every day. And today in our briefing, they told us that there was a chance of lightning in Douglas County. The Umpqua National Forest has a red flag warning over most of their area, so off to the east of us here. But when we get back down towards the valley here, we're looking at the possibility of lightning today and tomorrow, basically east of I-5. So kind of waiting and see how that develops right now. There's a little bit of lightning activity kind of in central Oregon last time I looked at the radar over kind of that Bend Redmond area, but so far nothing in Douglas County.
So actually a big part of what you guys do at DFPA is looking at the weather and looking at all the things and kind of trying to see these perfect storms come together. And I saw some of your really cool equipment. So
yeah, so you know, we're always tracking the weather, but also the fuels condition. So that's really the two big drivers of fires is the fuels conditions and the weather. And when we get these hot events or windy events, couple that with the extremely dry fuels we have right now, it doesn't take much to spark a new fire. You know, all it takes is one spark to land in a pile of dry grass or some leaves or a duffy log, and we have that next fire start. So, you know, that's what we're out here trying to do, is prevent that next fire.
Well, you know, Shannon, you know, from the insurance perspective, because we have a lot of clients, farm and ranch clients, and a lot of folks living out in the rural areas, we watch their reports very closely. And one thing I want to reiterate is they're not an agency that comes out with the sky is falling, the sky is falling. When they say there's an issue, there's an issue. And it is amazing how accurate that their predictions are. So I've got to hand it to these guys, because I know they don't have a crystal ball, but it sure seems like they do, and they're fantastic in what they do. So you know, be sure everyone really minds what they say and takes the precautions that they do, you know, let us know to do.
I know that my family, we're big into hunting, and so sometimes we're out and scouting or doing this or whatever, and we've seen some fires pop up, and one of the kids has called into DFPA and said, hey, right about here, and you guys get on your little cameras and look and see if you can see an up. So I just think that the technology is absolutely amazing. So I'm glad you guys have that technology, because it really is helping us keep us safe and prevent things that maybe already have started from getting catastrophic.
Yeah, the cameras are a really neat system. You know, we have 13 of them here in Douglas County. We monitor a total of 30 that are spread out between Brookings and Sweet Home. And they're looking for new fire starts. You know, we don't see that many new initial reports around towns, because there's so many people with cell phones. But in those really remote areas, it's a huge resource for us. We had some lightning a couple days ago that went up the border between DFPA and the Umpqua National Forest, and there was a number of fires that started just off of one of the cameras, very close to it. And just on, you know, one of those presets, they detected about 8 or 10 different new fire starts. So we were able to report those very quickly to the Umpqua National Forest, and you know, they were able to respond and get those fires taken care of. So it's a great resource for us.
Are those cameras monitored? Are they somebody watching them, or?
Yeah, so we switched over to these cameras in 2006, and the story there is the lookouts were getting old, and they were very expensive to build in today's engineering world and everything else. So we looked for new technology, and there was a couple different systems. One of them was from a company in Germany, and the other one was a company out of South Africa. Tested them both, and we went with the Forest Watch system. So basically what those cameras do is they take pictures and they come back into our office, and it's comparing those images, the computer is, and it's looking for differences. So it could be a cloud of dust, it could be, you know, a cloud itself that came through, or it could be smoke. So it still takes the human eye to determine, yes, it's a fire or not, but we can monitor a lot more cameras with fewer people than we did before with the lookouts.
That's amazing.
That's really neat technology.
Well, I was looking at the cameras before we came over, and I mean, if you want to just see some beautiful scenery, it was really neat looking at these cameras. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I just think we're blessed to have that here, you know, because that couldn't have been, you know, that had to be a pretty penny is what I'm saying. So the investment is, I'm glad we made that because, you know, we've definitely seen more than our fair share of fires this last couple of years. So I think we could use all the help we can get is basically what I'm saying.
Yep, definitely.
It's like everything we can have. Let's do it. Any updates on the Jack Creek fire? I'm always going to put Creek in there.
Yeah, so the update we got from the Jack fire this morning from the team that's working on that, it's at 22,491 acres and at 61% containment. So initially, DFPA was involved with this fire. We have some private in holdings within the Umpqua, some houses, some private property, and we have the fire protection jurisdiction around those areas. Everything on the Umpqua National Forest is protected by the Umpqua. So we worked with them right off the bat. The state fire marshal had a team in there as well for structure protection. At this point, the fire is pretty much taken care of around those private parcels and the structures. We still have an engine up there, you know, patrolling the area for, you know, something that could be smoking or smoldering close. But everything's been looking really good in that area. Most of the fire activity now is on the south side of Highway 138. And, you know, they've had up until today when it warmed up, some breaks in the weather and a little bit of precipitation when that thunderstorm went through the other day. And they were being pretty aggressive and going a little more direct in some places on that fire and trying to cut it off and do some good work. So they're continuing to do a lot of good work up there. They're making some good progress, and they're gaining ground every day.
Well, and truthfully, I mean, hats off to the firefighters, because that is such a tough job and in the heat, and we're just super grateful, and just want to give them a shout out. And they come from all over too, so in our time of need, it always seems like our units have gone other places when they've needed us, and people come to us when we need them. So I just think that jumping in and being willing to help when somebody's in their time of need is just a super cool thing that firefighters do. So,
well, it sure is, you know, kind of reassuring too that you know, looking at the weather now, that our crews are here, so we have the resources here. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have the resources here. Should we have the lightnings show up, and pray they don't. But, you know, it's good we got our boots here ready to go.
Yeah, we feed into the statewide system like all the other agencies do. So we have a couple people out helping on some of the large fires. But the majority of our resources are here in Douglas County right now, ready for any new start that happens, which is really important, because when you look at the big picture, there's a lot of fire going on across the country right now, and resources are starting to get stretched thin again. So, you know, we are very lucky here in Douglas County. We have multiple rural fire departments and city fire departments that come to our aid and help us out, in addition to the industrial community between industrial landowners, loggers, road builders, and people like that. We rely on them a lot to help out with fires, and they bring everything from the heavy equipment to water tenders to kind of that mid-level management to fill in some of the gaps for us on these large and small fires.
So I know when you see the little meters, we're at high, low, moderate, extreme. Where are we right now currently?
So we just moved into extreme earlier in the week.
Okay.
So, you know, that's one of the things when we're monitoring those fuel conditions and looking at the forecast of what's coming up. Things aren't really great right now. So our fuels are trending, you know, still several weeks to a month ahead of where they should be. You know, some of our indices are already lining up to where we were at the end of August, early September last year, right before the Archie Creek fire happened. So things are very dry out there. And again, it only takes one spark right now to start that next fire.
And knowing, you know, that we're also not having this overabundance of water anywhere, you know, Sutherland just went on their please don't water your garden, you know, phase or whatever. And so it's like we're all protecting that resource so that it's there for what we need it for, when we need it for, in case of a catastrophic event. So, you know, everybody in Sutherland, sorry about your begonias or, you know, all the other places, but let's all do what we can to honestly, you know, do our part to be a good community and a good citizen on all of our parts. I mean, I know we have a small ranch and we're not irrigating. We haven't done any of that, you know, because it's like there's not enough water for everybody. So we're cutting back.
Well, and it's important that people realize, you know, I mean, we always get the mindset of it's not going to happen to me. But when you see the bulk of these fires, they're not start by someone with a blowtorch or somebody, you know, sometimes our campfires, but a lot of these fires are a small spark. And so it is that little thing. It is weed eating in dry grass that you think it's not going to spark. But how many times that we've seen those things become disastrous and deadly just because somebody decided to mow their lawn?
Yeah, looking at our stats, about 76-77% of our fires are human-caused fires, and the rest is lightning. So human-caused fires is going to be, you know, anything from, you know, a vehicle to power lines to other power equipment. One of the big things that we see you know, on the shoulder seasons is illegal burns and escape debris burns. You know, the recreation fires have been up in the last handful of years. So, you know, there's a wide range of things that cause fires. But a lot of times it just takes, you know, a second to stop and think about, you know, what you're doing and what those potential ignition sources could be for whatever activity it is and, you know, what you could do to mitigate that. You know, it could be, you know, driving to wherever you're heading is staying on those improved roads and not getting off driving through the grass or parking on the dry grass or just, you know, simple little things that any other time of the year wouldn't be that big a deal. But with the conditions during fire season that we see here in Douglas County with our very hot and dry summers, it doesn't take much to start a fire.
And it might not start right then and there. You may have done something and then it smolders and catches on when you're, you know, already back home and don't know that you potentially cause that. So, well, we're going to take a break and be back in just a moment with more Your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Welcome back. I'm Shannon Sebastian, and we are in studio with Kyle Reed from the Douglas County Forest Protection Agency and Alan Painter with Premier Insurance. And today we are talking about wildfires, fires in general, prevention, and just ways that we can try to do better. And before we came into the last or ended the last segment, Kyle, you had mentioned, you know, there's ways that we can try to reduce, you know, the risk, you know, or what we're doing and putting it out there as being and being smart and making good choices. So you didn't say that. That's my interpretation of it. So one of the ways, and I've learned this with being in now a property and casualty office here for this last year, is I've learned a little bit about defensible space. And so I'm going to have toss this over to the two of you guys to kind of talk a little bit about defensible space.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something that every homeowner can do to mitigate the risk around their home. And a lot of it's simple stuff, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about defensible space, and many people think, you know, we've got to make a moonscape and get rid of everything. And that's far from what we want to do. But there are some key things that we want to do. And what we recommend is really looking at the house, or it could be an outbuilding or barn or whatever, but whatever structure, and then the first 100 to 200 feet around it. So, you know, basically at the structure itself, you know, we're looking at the types of building materials that are used. We're looking at, you know, the roofing material. We're looking at vents on, or screens over vents, and things like that. And then we get out to actually the fuels around the house. And, you know, we kind of use the FireWise model and break it down into three zones. So that first zone is the intermediate zone, which includes the house in that first 5 feet. And in that area, we want to, you know, make sure there's not a lot of vegetation at all. You know, some house plants or something like that's fine, but we don't want, you know, blackberries on the back porch, or, you know, shrubs and everything right up against the house. We want to make sure, or try and create a barrier of non-flammable material up against the house. So it could be bare dirt, it could be concrete, asphalt, it could be pavers, whatever. But to make that buffer there from, you know, a flame contact against the house. You know, some of the other stuff that we're looking at in this area, you know, is everything else that we have stored there around the house, and kind of those urban fuels that, you know, we stuff stuff under the deck, or, you know, lean stuff up against the house. You know, that's all potential fuel. And when we all do it, we're all guilty of storing stuff around the place. And most of the time that's fine, but we got to think about what we're storing, and, you know, gas cans, propane tanks, stuff like that, and make sure that they're stored properly so they're not a problem. You know, when we get out from that 5 feet out to 30 feet, you know, we're really looking at, again, not getting rid of everything, but reducing what we have there. So we want, first of all, the grass, we want to make sure it's mowed and maintained. You know, especially, you know, this year with drought, a lot of people can't keep it green. But if you keep the grass short, the flames will be very small. So that's important. Unfortunately, with the fire conditions right now in extreme, we can't mow. So hopefully that was already taken care of. You know, some of the other things that we're looking at is getting rid of the underbrush component. So that's the blackberries, the poison oak, the young saplings, getting rid of those ladder fuels. And the ladder fuels allow the fire to climb from the ground up into the tops of trees. And once it gets into the tops of trees and the canopies, it's very difficult to fight. So we want to try and eliminate that threat. Moving to the larger trees, you know, we do want to make sure there's some space between those. And you know, they have some recommendations of, you know, 18 feet between trees or clusters of trees. And really a lot of it also depends on what kind of trees those are. So a lot of the hardwood trees around here are much more fire resistant than the conifers. So that's something that could play into, you know, how many trees or your spacing is what kind of the trees you have. But then once we decide what trees we're going to keep, we do want to limb those trees up. So that way, again, there's not those ladder fuels on that tree to climb to the top. From there, from that 30 feet out to 100 feet or potentially 200 feet, it's a lot of the same stuff. We're getting rid of those ladder fuels. We're limbing up the trees and really focusing on, you know, the dead and dying material and the stuff that's going to be very flammable. Anything around the homes that's, you know, fire prone, we want to try and mitigate. One of the things we see a lot of around here is juniper that's planted right up against house because, you know, it doesn't take much. You plant it and kind of forget about it. And juniper is extremely flammable. It's like throwing a match on gasoline. So, again, a lot of those little common everyday things can go a long ways in protecting your home.
Well, on a practical side, you know, we've all heard these, you know, suggestions that Kyle's made over and over. Unfortunately, you know, maybe we all haven't listened as we should. But, you know, from my perspective, we're starting to see a complete shift in the insurance industry. You know, there are areas, you know, of our county that are going to be woke up with non-renewals from their insurance company just because of where they live. And they need to start being proactive to take care of these things. Yes, to save their home, of course, but also in order to have insurance in the future. We're already seeing some of our rural customers that are being non-renewed just, you know, because of the fires. And we've been pretty blessed here with the you know, DFPA and the job they've done over the last 50 years. And until last year, we didn't really have a housing loss. But now you have to look in the big picture. The West is on fire, and these insurance companies are losing a lot of money. And so now they're scared and they're cutting their risk. So these are things that we're going to have to adopt, not just when it gets hot, but all the time. We have to be proactive in this. And I was sharing a story, and Kyle helped me with a client we had. There was a remote house out in Glide. And Kyle was up there, and he was working with me, and we've got the defensible space on this. You know, thankfully, the client went above and beyond. And I was up there helping to evacuate, taking pictures, getting ready for the house to be burnt when we came back. And after the fire, we came back, and the only thing he lost was a PVC pipe, just a little bit of melt. And this is on the top of the mountain, surrounded by homes that had burned, and this place didn't burn, you know, for the sole reason of this person followed Kyle's recommendations and saved his home. And there was without a doubt, had he not, that home would have gone up like all the rest up there in Glide. So this isn't something to take lightly. This is something we're going to have to adopt into our everyday lives and plan our defensible space and start a year-round activity. You know, take a look at those wood piles, that bark mulch, like Kyle said, junipers, and I can add Leland cypress, you know, explode. So we have to start taking more precautions because it's going to get difficult on a fire side and also on the insurance side.
Well, and I think it's kind of scary because seeing that carriers that have had maybe a home for, as Alan was saying, non-renewal, that means they're already with a company. Their home is already insured, or their home's maybe been insured for, you know, 15, 20 years with a carrier, and now they're saying, oh, no, you're in that fire danger area, and we don't want any part of it. So, you know, all we can do is our best to keep the numbers down and to keep, you know, our neighbors safe and everybody safe, because loss affects everybody. Because we're seeing it after last year too, you know, that people are gun shy or companies are gun shy at insuring around here. So kind of scary, but the defensible space, and thank you for going out there and doing that service. That's awesome. And to know that, you know, you played a part in potentially saving somebody's home because they listened to you and they listened to Alan and went above and beyond. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's something that we do free of charge for residents here is, you know, if you have questions, feel free to give us a call. And, you know, if we can't answer your questions over the phone, we can come out and do a site visit and walk around the property with you and give you those pointers and, you know, look at the house and those, that you know, that first 100 or 200 feet and what we can do. And right now with everything going on in the middle of fire season, it may take a while to get that set up.
Right.
But you know, a lot of times that's stuff that we can do in the off season, and you know, then you have all the ample opportunities to get, you know, all those prevention measures taken care of before the next fire season.
Well, and you had said, I think you guys put a post out usually in March or April that says, you know, now is time to think about defensible space or something, because it is a great time. It's not a fire danger. We're not, you know, putting ourselves at risk by doing the chainsaws and the stuff like that. So, you know.
Well, and I can truly attest that, you know, Kyle's organization, DFPA, you know, they are truly a government that's here to help you. I know we're all hesitant about how some come to our property, but all he offers is blessings. He's not out there to get anyone in trouble. He's not out. So everything that he does is there to protect us. And over the years, I've gotten to know the work that he and his staff do, and they are committed above and beyond to keeping us safe because, you know, thankfully, we haven't had a loss of human life, but we're not talking houses, we're talking people. And so it seems kind of silly that keeping grass cut can potentially save a life, but that's true.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back real quick. You know, like I mentioned before, there's restrictions in place with extreme fire danger. A lot of the gas-powered equipment is cut off right now, so we can't do the mowing or the chainsaw work or stuff like that. But there's still a lot of stuff that people can do. You know, making sure your gutters are cleaned out, moving the firewood piles away from the home, making sure the gas cans and the propane tanks are stored properly, you know, raking, picking up the dead and down material. Again, there's so much that can be done before the fire is on the landscape and threatening a home to improve your odds. I just can't emphasize that enough.
Well, I know I saw a statistic, and it was very telling. It was like between 40 and 50% of the wildfire claims that we pay started from debris in gutters. You know, you can have a metal roof, you can have concrete siding, but if you fill up your gutters full of kindling, everything else is pretty moot. And so it may look good from down on the ground, but I just cleaned my gutters, so I know they get filled pretty rapidly.
Yeah, and that's something you don't think about a lot of times this time of year because it's dry. You know, the gutters aren't overflowing, but we're accumulating pine needles and fir needles and things like that in there. And you're exactly right. That's great tinder for an ember to land in. You know, we always see those big flame fronts on TV, on the news, and the pictures of, you know, the fires racing up the hillsides towards the home. And a lot of times those flame fronts burn past the home quick enough that it doesn't ignite the home. But it's those little embers that land in the gutters or in the firewood piles or in the nooks and crannies that accumulate to the point where they ignite something. So it's really taking that step back and looking at what we can do to, you know, mitigate those kinds of issues. Again, cleaning out the gutters and doing those simple everyday tasks that can make a huge difference.
Well, I think that we're going to take a break, actually, and then I want to come back and talk about evacuation processes and stuff. So we'll be back after just a couple quick words from our sponsors here with Your Cue on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Welcome back. This is Shannon Sebastian with Your Cue, sponsored by Premier Insurance. And in the studio today, keeping cool in the air conditioning, mind you, which is pleasant and nice, we have Kyle Reed from DFPA, the Douglas County Forest Protection Agency, and Alan Painter with owner of Premier Insurance here in Roseburg, Oregon, who I get to work with every day because I'm just so blessed.
I thought you almost forgot my name there.
No, I almost forgot my own, but we have a good time at Premier. We really, really, really do. So if we get silly sometimes, that's just how we normally are. The day is much more enjoyable when you can just have fun with the people you're with. So thank you again, Kyle, for being here today, because I really feel like we are giving out some really great information, and you know, love to have you back on when it's that time to get people to get putting this into action, you know, as well again next year, and kind of you know, get people in. Like you said, this is kind of your busy time to be going out and doing the visits, but boy, I sure encourage people to take you up on that. So we talked about defensible space and ways to actually help, you know, put our best foot forward, trying to save our own homes and things like that by the defensible space. And so now let's just say the fire's here like it was last year. I think a lot of us you know, weren't really sure what level ones and level twos were and level threes were, and that kind of heightened our awareness, because then every day we were listening for this, like who's on a one and who's on a two and who's on a three and what does that actually, you know, look like. So can you tell us how you guys decide any of that, like what's a level one or two or three?
Yeah, so several years back, the state of Oregon adopted the Ready, Set, Go program. So we have the level one, level two, level three. So a level one is to be ready. A level two is to be set. And then the level three is a go. And before I go through all these different levels, I want to stress that the evacuation orders are issued by the sheriff's office, but they're working with the firefighters on the ground to determine where those are going to be. So we're working hand in hand to get those evacuations in place and then that information out. The other thing to know is that, you know, this isn't strictly for a fire. So the same levels, the same system could be used for, you know, any kind of natural disaster, you know, flood, landslide, earthquake, whatever it may be, if it's warranted. So going through the levels real quick. So that level one, be ready, is basically issued, you know, when something's happening in the surrounding area, but you're not immediately threatened yet. So it's basically at that point to be aware of what's going on in your surroundings, you know, get tuned in to an official source of information, whether it's a news outlet or the sheriff's office or DFPA or the fire department or whoever, to make sure that you're up to date on what's going on as that event unfolds. This is the great time to start thinking about what you need to do if you're going to evacuate. You know, what are you going to take? You know, clothes, paperwork, documents, those family heirlooms. You know, having a plan ahead of time makes this process a lot easier. So I encourage people to think about that, you know, well in advance, know what they need to grab, where it's at. So that way in that moment, you're not running around frantically. This is also the time to start thinking about if you have livestock you have to move out, or, you know, somebody with special needs that will need some extra assistance. Start thinking about at this point of getting those people relocated. If the event worsens, the fire in this situation, a fire continues to spread in your direction, level 2 evacuation or the BSET will be issued. And basically at this point, you know, we're really encouraging people to voluntarily relocate. Again, you know, things are dicey. And the thing to remember here, especially with fires, things change very quickly. So we may be there to issue a level 2 evacuation and that fire picks up and we may not be able to get back to issue that level 3. So this is a great time to get out. If you are still there and you've got your stuff packed, you know, this is a great time to do that walk around the home and look for those things that you could do really quickly. Move the lawn furniture away from the home, propane tanks, whatever else, to help improve your odds. Again, at this point, keep up to date with information as it changes. When we move to that level 3, this is the you need to go now state. There are no mandatory evacuations in Oregon. However, typically the sheriff's office will come by, and if you choose, tell them you're going to stay, they'll ask for your next of kin. And it's kind of a two thought process here in case something does go wrong and you don't make it out of the situation. They have that information already. But second of all, it's to make you think for a minute, is this really what I want to do? Is this worth staying behind and potentially risking your life? But again, at that level 3 evacuation notice, that's when you should leave. And again, things can change very quickly from that 2 to the 3. To actually get the information out to the public, the sheriff's office uses a variety of tools. So the first one, obviously, is the news releases, sharing that information on official websites with the media, things like that. They also go door to door with deputies to share that information. And then lastly, we have a reverse 911 system here in Douglas County that's used. All landlines in the county are in that system. However, cell phones are not, and the voiceover IP lines are not. You can log on to the sheriff's office website. There's a tab down below. I believe it's either alerts or the Douglas County Citizens Emergency Network or something like that. And you can enter your information and get added to that system. So it only takes a couple seconds to do, and I highly encourage people to sign up their cell phones if they haven't done so already.
Well, one thing that we ran into a lot last year, like I said, we have a lot of ranch clients and rural clients, is we had a lot of our clients calling the office, say, we haven't heard anything. And, you know, a lot of that is good. No news is good news, but you still need information. So I would recommend, and something we did in the office last year, is we had a list of clients in different areas, and we would send out texts just to let them know that, no, you know, everything's okay, everything's fine. So, you know, something you should do now before the crisis starts, you know, if you don't, not on Facebook, because Facebook seemed to be a pretty prevalent, so, you know, some of these areas don't have internet connections, or some of the areas of our county have cell phone pockets, you know, where mysteriously cell phones won't go into. You know, work with neighbors, work with family or these things, and, you know, work with your insurance agent. You know, we're happy to serve you in other ways besides insurance, and so figuring out how you can get that information, and more importantly, how you can't today so you can rectify that.
you know, last year, I just started coming into the office a little bit in August and was kind of getting my little world situated in Premier. So I've been there almost a year. And the joke in the office was, which then turned out to not be funny because it got out of hand, but was that I was just trying to help answer the phones because they literally were ringing off the hook. People want to know at the last moment when they get their level two, do I have enough coverage? Am I okay? Am I taken care of? What do I do in this situation? And to hear the, you know, Brett and Cheryl and Shelley and Alan talk to the clients and you know, tell them how to, you know, what to do, how to, you know, check things, open drawers, use their phones, just get together what you have to, and, you know, to be ready to get out and to get out. And if they needed help, we'd come. And meaning Alan. I say we, meaning Alan.
Yeah, we're a team, meaning Alan.
Meaning Alan would be brave enough to go through there. And honestly, I mean, the joke is I cry all the time, but I it was scary to see the videos that were happening up there, you know, up the river. And it's like, you know, we want to be of assistance and be there for them. And the way that we can do that is by having calm, cool, and collected, you know, minds in the office to put them to at ease and to reassure them and to help them through the process. But it is, I think that being connected to those important sites or having your cell phone, you know, with the sheriff's office is absolutely a brilliant idea.
You know, you see these firefighters out there doing their job and how cool, collected, calm they seem to be. Well, the reason they're like that is because they prepare before the crisis hits. Now, imagine how things were if we just drove around, grabbed a bunch of people, and went up there and fight fires. It would be pretty chaotic. So, but we need to do that same thing. We need to prepare now so when crisis hits, we're prepared. We know exactly what to do. Everybody in your family knows, has a job to do. You know, you know how to get information, and there's no panic. Because one thing that was heard over and over again was a panic in people's voices because they didn't know a thing.
Yeah.
Or even worse, the rumor mill. So, yeah. You know, I guess two most important lessons is disregard the rumor mill. Go straight to the source. And stuff is stuff. Mm-hmm. We can always replace stuff. Okay? We can't replace fathers, mothers, children. So heed these warnings, move out, and then let your insurance do their job if, God forbid, something does happen.
Yeah, if need be.
Thank you for bringing up the rumor mill, because that's something I battle year after year with these different fires is
horrible.
The rumors that get going, and they spread faster than the fire itself does.
100% agree. It's horrible. And the looky-loos.
Yes. That's always a... Thanks for bringing that up, too. That's always a problem we run into, especially stuff, you know, around town or something along the highways. Is everybody wants to go see what's going on, and I get that, but there's so much going on. Equipment are trying to get in. People are trying to get out. You know, the fire down in Green at Rolling Hills was a great example the other day of, you know, traffic jams of people trying to leave as fire equipment was coming in, compounded with multiple people that I'm sure didn't live in the area because there were a lot of cars driving through there when we were trying to work on that fire. So I know, again, people want to see what's going on. You know, it's human nature, but please, if you can, stay out of those areas when the fire is taking place so we can safely get in and out, address the situation, and get people back in safely when it's able to do so.
Yeah, that's a great point. Stay out of the area. And heck, you're going to see it better on Facebook anyway. So just stay at home, log on to your computer, and you'll get great videos from either DFPA or somebody there. But I was actually caught out in that. I you know, to see them trying to move equipment through this massive traffic on Highway 99 was a mess. So, you know, let's let them guys do their job so we don't have little fires become big fires.
Well, and absolutely. So we're going to take a break here, and we'll be right back with your cue on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening today. So finishing up here with our final notes with Kyle Reed from DFPA and Alan Painter with Premier Insurance. We were talking fires, wildfires, and at the end of the last segment, we were talking about Facebook.
Facebook.
And I'm not sure what happened there.
It's time to sing a song.
That was jazzy music. But with the rumor mills, and it just does such a disservice with you guys trying to do your job and get the communication out and get the equipment in. And so really we can't stress that enough, that, you know, everybody wants to be kept up to date, but unless you're hearing it from DFPA or the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, just don't share it, maybe.
Well, love it or hate it. You know, even if one's not a user of Facebook, mm-hmm. I'd encourage everybody, go on and get an account.
Absolutely.
If you never use it, fantastic. But if you need information to be able to log on DFPA's site or the sheriff's site, it's absolutely invaluable because it's amazing how quickly they kept that information up to date. So if you hear something, check first before you spread it down the line.
And I think also that, you know, you can mark yourself safe on there. So if yeah. you are in, you know, a crisis or a catastrophe or something, you can mark yourself safe. So your family members may not be able to get a hold of you because your cell phone's back at the house or whatever happened, but they know that you're safe. And that's such a peace of mind for people, you know, because it's not just us here. It's people seeing this across the country play out and wondering, oh, I haven't heard from my family or something. Yeah. So anyway, just go to your proper channels for your proper, accurate sources for information on this thing, because it really does, you know, false information can really just be so detrimental.
And if you have any questions, if there's something we didn't cover here, I understand Kyle and his crew will be at the fair next week.
We will. We will be in the Douglas Timber Operators tent, which is out between Douglas Hall and the exhibit building. So come by and check us out.
Fair time is fun time, and it's back.
Yeah, I think it's called Fun Fair in 2021 or Fair Fun in 2021. That's the theme.
All I know is I've got 2 years worth of fair food I got to fill up on after. You know.
We need fried bread and corn dogs and lemonade and all the goodies.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be out there as well in the community building.
We will.
I think we're like booth 42 or 3 or something exciting like that.
So. Air-conditioned.
Air conditioned.
Sorry, Kyle.
Yeah.
Our tent gets a little warm.
we'll come bring you some.
It's gonna be awesome to go out and see the kids with their pigs and sheep and goats and all the critters, showing the rabbits and chickens.
We've had a lot of them coming in.
Yeah.
You've got quite a wall of swine right now. That's all we have. We haven't had anything else come in.
The wall of swine.
The wall of swine. we called it the wall of fame, but really it only has pigs on it. So right now, I don't know where all you cow people are at, but
yeah,
we haven't had that yet.
Well, excited to see things get back to normal and get some of the events that we all love, like the fair, and great time to go out and socialize and, like I said, overindulge the fair food.
Yeah.
It's like we have good entertainment coming.
It'll just be nice to get out and do another community event. We've had a few of them, but always nice to do something like that and get out and about and be safe. And if somebody sees a lightning strike, since we have this thing for tonight and tomorrow, how do you want them to call in? If somebody's worried and they actually see something, or... I don't want you to be overwhelmed with phone calls, but I also want you to get a call if it's really needed.
Yeah, so, you know, only report actual fires. You know, one thing we see a lot of times is pockets of moisture that'll pop up that look like smoke columns. So if you think there's a fire, please notify us. The easiest way to do that's through 911. But don't make false reports if there just could maybe kind of sort of be something because we saw a flash way off in the distance.
Yeah, again, that could be detrimental. So anyway, everybody, we just want you to be safe. We want you to be prepared.
Yep.
And don't wait till you're in stage 2 or 3 to call your insurance agents and double check your coverage. Make sure you're good. and just get that peace of mind so that you already have it, if nothing else, because that's what I felt like last year we gave out, was a lot of peace of mind to our clients. You're covered. You're good. Just focus on the important things, which is, you know, all God's living creatures and, you know, those super special things that you, heirlooms you want to pass down to your kids. So anyway, thank you so much, Kyle, for being on the show today. I feel like you brought such a lot of great information, and that, you know, hopefully people heed the warnings and listen to the good information and take you up on it either this year or next year in preparation for it. So, and let's just hope we get some rain here soon.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we'll see everyone at the fair.
See you all at the fair. And we'll be back next week to talk about what's happening at the fair. So thank you for tuning in to Your Cue, and we will be here next Thursday. Have a great weekend.